just sang, and one would miss a note and they'd go titter titter, and the next one would duck through it. Oh, that was embarrassing. Because down below they wouldn't know what everybody was laughing at. You see, they couldn't see me, just my men.
Your men lucky to be here.
Oh, dear, how long does this go on?
Thank you.
Lily is fantastic. The career that she had with me, what her career, I have to be
they were sneaking around back there doing while Ron was singing. And our soloists are Cynthia Bowman, who plays the part of Mary Magdalene, and then the part of King Herod is played by Lonnie Atkinson. So we'll ask the young people to come in now, please.
Jesus Christ, who are you, what have you said? Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, who are you, what have you said? Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, who are you, what have you said? We do want to make to Mrs. Piercy tonight, and I'm very happy to be a part of the program and to take this part of the program, and all that I want to say at the very beginning is that I'm simply your representative when I do what I'm going to be doing in a few moments. It's not Ross Hamilton that's doing this, Mrs. Piercy. I'm simply acting on behalf of the members and friends of you in Bethany United Church here. I don't know any other reason why I would be asked, but certainly, as you know, not because of any musical ability that I have. Grant mentioned his ability on the piano tonight. I have the same kind of experience, Grant. I took a few piano lessons when I was quite small, and I can tinkle out a few things to my own satisfaction, no one else's. But I was the kind of visiting pianist in our home. When visitors came who weren't very welcome, they'd ask me to play the piano. Mother thought I had a very good memory, though. I could always remember the bad notes. However, it is a true story, though, Lizzie, that my wife and I were driving to Great Britain, I think it was this year sometime, and I was humming in the car, a little Japanese Cadillac that we drive, and I don't know what I was humming, you know, there's a long, long trail of winding to the land of my dreams. That's a good song to hum when you're going to Great Britain. But I was humming away. And this is as true as I'm standing here. My wife was sitting, of course, just beside me in the car, and she said, "What's that noise?" Church throughout the Bible and down through Christian centuries. And one author has said, and I'm going to make a couple of quotes here tonight, that's one reason I have a few notes here. One author, his name is Dr. Wagoner, says, "One reason the Christian church has survived so long despite poor sermons and architectural kitsch is to be found in its music. Per square ear, most of the good music in this world is heard by churchgoers or was written for the praise of Almighty God." That may be somewhat overstated, but it is a pretty true statement that a great deal of the great music for the Western world, at least, was written in praise of Almighty God. And when he mentions square ears there, he may be thinking of mine. I don't know. Music that is small and square ears, however. One of the people that I studied somewhat over in Princeton this last fall, just a year ago now, there were two great theologians being studied in one course, Paul Tillich and Karl Barth. Karl Barth is one of the crowning theologians of this century, one of the great theologians of all the Christian centuries. He was a great lover of music. I don't know who your favorite musician is in classical music, Lillian. I didn't ask you, I meant to ask you before I get up. Interesting enough, while Barth was living, he wrote a letter to Mozart, who, of course, was long dead. And in that letter, Karl Barth said, "I've only a hazy feeling of what the music played where you now dwell. Whether the angels play Bach in praising God, I'm not quite sure. I'm sure, however, that in family they play Mozart, and that then also God the Lord is especially delighted to listen to them." I simply say that to illustrate again the fact that music has played a tremendous role in biblical and in Christian history, and great theologians have also often been great lovers of great music. Christianity is good news. And sometimes there are people who come to church to hear good news, but they are sometimes like the little fellow who came for the first time to church. He listened to the radio often, and he said he liked the music better than the news. Is good news, and the good news has generated music down the years. You have provided many with music, Lillian, and perhaps you've never had to pray the organist's prayer. One of the famous prayers of organists is, "Forgive us, our Heavenly Father. Forgive me, my Heavenly Father, that so often my left hand does not know what my right hand is doing."
Change the feet.
We had a young chap playing the organ here recently. He was having trouble with the foot pedals. I reminded him of the psalm and said my feet did not slip, so I don't know if that was but you have established a long play record, William. 47 years. There may be others who have played that long or longer in this dominion of ours, but this is a tremendous achievement, a tremendous record of faithfulness, 47 years. And not only your involvement here in this church, but in the community as well. You have graced many occasions in Bethany and beyond, as we've heard tonight. Funerals, weddings, church services, concerts, and so on. And I'm sure that sometimes at 9:30 service, when an hall in front of you was vacant, apart from one minister, you sometimes have thought, "Oh, for a time to praise my God." But large choir, small choir, down the years, you have given wonderful service in this most important part of the worship of the Christian church. And thinking about what might be said this evening as we come closer to offering you some tokens of our esteem, I thought, and apparently they've been able to keep it from you. I thought just this afternoon of that prayer, "O thou from whom no secrets are hid." And also the 139th Psalm, as if there's not a word that I've come, "The Lord, O God, thou knowest it altogether." The people of Halifax know some of the things I'm going to say and do right now.